A cookout for dropouts based on the gospel lesson for today. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was what is called the hippie movement. You remember that? Yes. Well, they had a slogan they went by, and this slogan was from coast to coast. It covered everywhere you would go. They went by the theme, tune in, turn on, drop out. This slogan was popularized by a certain Dr. Timothy Leary out of San Francisco, who kept the mantra going, tune in, turn on, drop out. Well, the hippie movement is long passé, but millions and millions and millions of people are still dropping out through the use of all sorts and various kinds of drugs. What a shame. But as we think about dropouts, let us know this. Tragically, statistics tell us 1 million high schoolers drop out of high school every year. Now, that's a tragic figure to comprehend. 1 million every year. And then statistics tell us 1,000 every day young people drop out by running away from home. To further complicate the issue, we have to admit, and there is the dropout problem also in the church. Mainline denominations have put on record great losses in membership. The Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church have gone on record saying they've lost great membership. But Lutherans also have experienced some hemorrhaging in this regard, and some congregations do better than others, but every Christian congregation, to one degree or another, needs to confront the dropout issue. And so this certainly is something that applies to us, and the text speaks to us here this morning. The dropout problem is nothing new. The Lord Jesus had the dropout problem. When he rose from the dead, he did not have a dedicated band of followers ready to go to work for him. So how does he confront this problem? Well, our text says he holds a cookout for his dropouts. And we're going to look at the text and look at some of Jesus' methods by which he reclaimed them and re-enlisted them for service in his kingdom. So, between the 40 days that there were between Christ's resurrection and his ascension into heaven, the Bible says he appeared to many people at different times, in different places. St. Paul says he appeared to more than 500 people at one time. But another appearance was Jesus at the Sea of Galilee, where his disciples had gone to fish for fish. 3 years earlier, Jesus had been there at the Sea of Galilee, and he said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But now they were just fishing for fish. They went back to their old job, their old boat, out there fishing, and the text says they fished all night and didn't catch a single fish. And friend, isn't that the way it is? When you don't have Jesus going with you, nothing seems to really turn out right. In fact, we could go so far to say life itself adds up to one big zero without Jesus. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but ends up losing his own soul? What can he give in exchange for his soul? And Jesus also says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same it is that will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Life ends up with a big zero without Jesus. True friends, believe that with all your heart. So,
Jesus,
what does he do? He goes to his disciples. This is one thing we want to emphasize. He is a people person. He is proactive. He goes to them. He doesn't wait for his disciples to come to him. They're rather confused and bewildered. They don't know what to do. So what do? They go back to their old job and start fishing. And there are people today somewhat bewildered and confused. And for one reason or another, they drop out. They stop working for the Lord Jesus. You know, when you join a church, you basically say, I want to work for Jesus. I want to build the body of Christ. I want to expand the kingdom of God. I want to do my part. I can't do everything, but I can reach one for Jesus. I can help in evangelizing and spreading the good news that Jesus is alive and he's my Savior and he's your Savior, and anyone who believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, he wants to enlist us in his work. But I ask you, are you still working for Jesus, or are you losing your pizzazz? Are you kind of lost your energy? Do you know statistics say that 75% of a church's work gets done by 25% of the people? So how do people stop working for Jesus? There are a number of ways. One is in their worship life. I'll be frank with you. 50% of our members do not worship regularly. They're inactive in worship, and some of our members don't worship at all. Well, where are they on a Sunday morning? You know as well as I that instead of packing the pews, they're packing the highway. They're going camping, they're going here and there, or they're mowing the lawn, or doing their gardening, catching up on work. They're watching the big game. They're sleeping in. Can you imagine that? Sleeping in. What a shame. The majority of Americans say they believe in God. You know, I know that's rather general. We believe in God. But they are everywhere except where they ought to be on a Sunday morning, in the house of the Lord, worshiping him with joy and thanksgiving and giving him praise and growing in his word. You know, there's many reasons why we should worship regularly. It's not something we should take lightly, for we have a commandment. God's commandment, the third commandment, says, sanctify the holy day. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching or his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Like I said, there's many reasons why we ought to be faithful in worship, but let me give you one real good reason. You and I are out in the world 6 days a week, and we're rubbing shoulders with all sorts of people. And we are confronted with the philosophy of the world, which is dog eat dog, you do what you need to do, do what's right in your own eyes, serve yourself first, and so on. And then we are bombarded by manifold temptations from the devil, the world, and our own flesh. If we don't have an opportunity to get correction, like on a Sunday morning through God's word and all, we can so easily slip into the ways of the world and soon be gone. We need this opportunity to be grounded in our faith. It's always good to confess one of the creeds, what we believe, and say, that's what I believe. I'm not going to let the world put me into its own mold. I want to be a child of God. I want to please God and do his will. And so I would say to you, please take worship seriously. Do not let anything come in the way of your worship each week. Only if there's an emergency, only if you're really sick or out of town and can't get into church. Otherwise, be there. The Bible says, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And so Let's show that we're working for Jesus by being faithful, and he's worthy of our worship indeed. Well, people stop working for Jesus in their worship, but also they stop working for Jesus in that they no longer take prayer seriously and the reading and studying of God's Word seriously. There was a time we thought, this is very important that I be a person of prayer and I read the Bible daily, but not so much today. There was a time we had family devotions. That was very important. And when the children were growing up, we read them Bible stories and prayed with them before they went to sleep, but not so much today. There was a time when we said, I want to be a witness for Jesus in word and by example. Wherever I go, I'm going to try to live for him who died for me and rose again. But that thought is not so much uppermost in our minds today. So I say to you, today, we all, because of the fact that people do slip and slide and drop out, we all do need to rededicate ourselves to the task of going to work for Jesus full time in our worship, in our witnessing, in our prayers, in our Bible reading, in our devotions, in our family, and in our church. That's what we need, people who want to go to work for Jesus full time. He says, I call you to be fishers of men. Don't just use your life to be fishing for fish, the mundane things. Keep the eternal ever before you. Well, how can we reach out and reclaim inactive members? Well, we can do what Jesus did. Remember, Jesus was a people person. He went to people. He didn't wait for people to come to him. He wanted to remind these men, hey, didn't I call you to be fishers of men, but you're just back to the old job, the old boat, the old task. And so he outlines what he wants from them. So also we are to go to people. When you come into church, I pray that you are a people person. You smile and you greet and you say, good morning and how are you doing? And you share a little bit of happiness. When some of our members miss 3 or 4 Sundays in a row, is there anyone who contacts them? Anyone who says, I need to find out what's happening in that family? Same is true in our Sunday school. If a child is missing 3, 4 Sundays in a row, someone ought to say, I need to find out if something's happened in the family and how we might be able to help them. When was the last time you said to someone, boy, it's sure good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. Welcome, and I hope I see you again every Sunday. Now, look, I know with 3 services, you can't keep track. I can't keep track. Pastor Rich can't keep track of everybody on a Sunday morning. But usually, if you come to the blended service, you get to know the people who come to the blended service. You get to know friends, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? Yes, we do care for one another. We are a family, and when someone is missing 3, 4 Sundays in a row, we ought to say, I'll talk to Pastor and see if something's happened here. Maybe I'll just make a phone call. That's the kind of attitude we need. We are the body of Christ. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. So not only a family are we, brothers and sisters, but we are the body of Christ. We need one another. We're connected to one another. Don't be like Cain who said, am I my brother's keeper? And of course, the Lord says, you are your brother's keeper and your sister's keeper. Yes, we are accountable to one another, and we should care for one another and uphold one another and support one another and bear with one another. So, how thankful we should be that our God is the God of second chances. I mean, there's so many stories in the Bible about people who failed the Lord, and he was there and said, come on, I'll pick you up, let's get going. Just think for a moment of Abraham. He failed the Lord in several ways. Moses, he also disobeyed. These are great men of God who also were sinners. And David, of course. But you know what? David ended up by being a man after God's own heart. That's what it says. Even though he fell and God could have said, I'm done with you, David, out of the way. I got to find somebody else who can serve me. No, he picks David up. David confesses his sin, and it says he became a man after God's own heart. He wrote Psalm 51, for example, and that's, I encourage people to read that Psalm 51 before you come to Holy Communion. It's a wonderful way to prepare your heart. Lord, I've sinned against you. I've fallen down on the job, and I have mercy on me. It's a wonderful psalm. Then there's, you remember Jonah. He deserted the Lord and went the opposite way, but God got him turned around. And Peter and Paul, they also denied and they persecuted the church, but ended up being pillars in the church. The point is, you and I have also failed the Lord in thought, word, and deed. We have denied him in certain ways. We have deserted him, and of course, we feel bad about that. We have done terrible things in thought, word, and deed over which we are ashamed, and we know we just don't feel we are worthy of being called Christians, followers of Christ. But guess what? Our Savior is there, and he stands with us and for us, and he holds a cookout on the shore of our lives. Let me talk to you about what is a cookout. Sin separates from God, and of course it messes our life up, and it makes us impotent as far as doing things for God when sin stands in the way. So we desert the Lord, we're unfaithful, we're very selfish, and we're just ashamed as we look at what's happened in our lives, and we'd rather not face the Lord but just slip away. Well, that's exactly the way the disciples felt after Easter. They had deserted him. They hadn't stood up with the Lord. They hadn't defended him. They were cowards. They ran. They knew they had dropped the ball big time. But the Lord, what does he do? He goes out to them. He reaches out to them, and he holds a cookout. He provides the food. Yeah, the 153 big ones, but he also had some fish that he was grilling, and he was preparing the meal, and he served it. They did nothing. The Lord did it all. And that's the way we start out with Jesus. You do nothing. It's all by grace alone, through faith in Jesus alone, that we are brought into the kingdom of God. And once we are brought in, we are saved to go to work for the Lord. Sin stands in the way, and it's terrible to know that the sting of death is sin. But because of Easter, dear friends, because of a risen Savior who stands here ready to work with us and for us and re-enlist us in his kingdom, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you may feel that you have been slipping and sliding, that you haven't really given much attention to God's word or thought about how he wants you to be a fisher of men and women. You may be thinking about maybe a family member that has dropped out and says, I don't need that, I don't want that. Well, guess what? We have a Savior who stands ready, and he says, I want to hold a cookout of love and forgiveness and reconciliation with you. A Savior who says, I want you to forget the past. Don't be reliving the past and dwelling on the past. I want you to forget what lies behind, and I want you to look forward to what lies ahead, and you press on to the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing on, and the Savior is there with us all the way. So, Friends, there is this epidemic. We need to be confronted with an epidemic today in society, dropouts all over the place, and in the church as well. 50% of our members worship irregularly, some not at all. 50% do not contribute proportionately with their time, talents, and treasure. Father was telling his little son about a hole in the fence. There was a little hole in the fence, and one of the sheep squeezed through and got out and wandered away and got involved into big trouble, predators and all that. But the shepherd was faithful. He went searching for the lost sheep, found it, rescued it, put the sheep on his shoulders, and brought it back into the fold, and everybody was happy. When the father was finished telling the story, the little boy said, "But Daddy, did anybody ever fix the hole in the fence?" And that's a very good question. What are we doing to fix the hole in the congregational fence to prevent dropouts? Well, we can hold a cookout of love. We can do it literally, and we can do it figuratively. Now, you've read in the bulletin, there's two big cookouts that are coming along. And on May the 19th, we're going to have a big cookout to welcome new members that have come into the church in the past year and a half. And we want to get acquainted with the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This is important that you see your connection to the new members and really heartily welcome them. And then on June the 2nd, we're going to have another luau barbecue by the Holy Smokers working hard to help us. And we are to bring in family and friends and neighbors and guests. It's going to be Friendship Sunday, and it's going to be a wonderful Sunday. So we're going to hold some cookouts, and you're so very important to be there. And you don't just say, "Well, I don't know if I want to go." We are not islands unto ourselves. We are members of the body of Christ, connected to each other. So that's something literally we are doing. Figuratively, friends, let me say, we can all love more, can't we? Let's not rest on our laurels. This is a loving congregation. I really believe that, a loving congregation. And we are doing better than others, yes. But let's not rest on our laurels. We can love more. We can extend the hand of friendship. We can smile more. We can be more inviting, more caring. That's what we want to be. And when there's someone missing, we want to be concerned about that too. We can all forgive more because we have been forgiven so much by our Savior who died and rose again for us. And He has taken us in His arms and given us a hug. Have you ever felt the Lord Jesus hugging you? That's what He wants to do. He does it in the absolution this morning. We're all sinners. We've all failed on the job, but He's there to heal us and renew us. And then in His Word, the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word, He's giving you a hug. If you'll only take hold of it, you know, a person can still keep Jesus at a distance, and that's not good to say, "Lord, I acknowledge you, but I want to live my life the way I want to live it." No, just let Jesus hug you. In the Holy Communion this morning, it's the Lord Jesus who says, "I stand by you. I want to re-enlist you in my work. I want to energize you." In the benediction as well. What I'm trying to say to you is that we don't want to treat lightly anyone for whom Christ has died and risen away. Anyone who's slipping away, we don't want to say, "Well, okay, so what?" Don't treat that matter lightly. We want to do everything we can to help people reestablish their connection with Christ and His church. We want to love people, care for people, minister to them, and go to them and not wait for them to come to us as we bear each other's burdens. We want to do all we can, and you are important in this answer. We want to do all we can to mend the hole in the congregational fence to prevent dropouts. We want to be fishers of men. We don't want to be just fishing for fish, caring about our own little hobbies and our own little life, but we want to see the big picture. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching, keeping them with Christ now and forevermore. So let's not hear you idly saying there's nothing I can do while the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Take those tasks He gives you gladly. Let His work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when He calls you, saying, "Here am I. Send me. Send me." And all God's people said, Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.